Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. When something difficult, we tend to call it bad, happens to us, or we're troubled by a recurring problem, we often become frustrated. We begin to ask, why did this happen? Why did God let this happen to me? Can anything good come out of this? I would think that a great many people are asking questions like those this year. Can trouble be a good thing? We obtain direction and we find answers in the Word of God before us this morning. Taken from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians from chapter 12, beginning of verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, fellow redeemed. It's fun watching people open presents. It's especially fun if you are the giver, because you get to watch the look on their face. Joy, excitement, elation. If you're merely a bystander, it's a little bit different. You may have different thoughts as the person opens their gifts. You might think to yourself, wow, that's a nice gift. I'd like to have one of those. You might think, ouch. I don't think that's going to fit. Are they trying to send a message? You might think, now there's a gift he can have. I don't want that one. It's difficult to watch and not imagine receiving the gifts ourselves. God gave the Apostle Paul many and varied gifts, and very few of them came in boxes with bows. A number of them are mentioned in the New Testament scriptures. When we look at some of the gifts that were given to him, we'd like to have some of them ourselves. For example, fearlessness in the face of persecution. How about the guts to get up after you've been stoned outside of a town and go back into the town to encourage the other believers there? On the other hand, there were other gifts given to Paul we would prefer not to have. Thank you. God gave Paul these gifts because he had chosen him to serve as a prophet and to communicate his word, especially to the Gentiles. And then Jesus personally called the apostle on the road outside of Damascus. He revealed to him the truths that he was to proclaim, and he enabled him then to see and to do things that few other people ever did. God directed his steps on his missionary journeys, sometimes even speaking to him directly, in visions and in dreams. Can you say that? Nope. But we might not covet all of the gifts that came to the Apostle Paul. We've all heard it said that with great wealth comes great responsibility. And with great gifts also comes temptation to pride and self-centeredness. When we stand for a moment in the Apostle Paul's sandals and see the great things that the Lord Jesus accomplished through him, we could see how easily it would be to become conceited and proud. It would be easy for others to exalt him and give him more credit than he deserved, and at the same time, more fault than he deserved. Paul might have become like some of the professional athletes of our day, who seem to think that because of their gifts, they can do whatever they want. There were times when Paul was elevated to God's status. How would our sinful flesh react to that? It would have been tempting to glorify the man Paul rather than the message and the object of that message, Jesus. And so Paul was given another gift to keep him balanced. The apostle didn't much like the gift. In fact, he called it a thorn in the flesh. And he came to understand why it was given to him. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. It was some kind of physical problem, a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, and so we're not going to guess. But we can say how and why it came to Paul. God allowed this thorn to come upon him. He allowed Satan to beat upon him through this thorn for Paul's spiritual and eternal good, to help him to see that he was completely dependent upon Jesus. Likewise, God may from time to time allow Satan to beat on us, but his purpose is always the same, our spiritual and eternal good. Satan, of course, would have pain and suffering always lead us to turn from God and fall from faith. But God overrides Satan's purposes and assures us instead in his word that all things work together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose. In the Apostle Paul's case, the difficulty was given to him to keep him from becoming conceited, proud. People today might call it tough love. God's purpose in allowing physical pain and suffering was to remind Paul that Jesus was his strength and he was utterly dependent upon him. The things that Paul might have taken pride in were ultimately accomplished by the power of Jesus. Of course, there was a time when the apostle didn't think that this gift, we'll call it, was a good thing. He believed it a hindrance to his ministry, no doubt. And so he asked that it be taken away. Verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Perhaps he asked the question that people do today, how can this trouble be a good thing? And so he asked that it be taken away. Was it wrong to ask? No, so long as it was a request and not a demand. In this respect, we can learn from Paul. We should be so persistent in our prayers, not just one and done when it comes to our requests. It could have been as long as 14 years during which he asked that this thorn be removed. Still, when we pray, we should remember that we're coming to a superior, not to a peer, and ask that God's will be done. In so praying, let us remember that God's deliverance may not take the form that we might like, but it will always be what our Father has determined is best for us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Your will be done," with regard to the suffering of the cross. The Father's answer was not to take the cross away from him, and he bore it willingly for us. Paul also prayed that his thorn be removed, but God's answer was not to remove it, but to grant him the grace to endure it. Why didn't God take away his thorn in the flesh? Was he punishing Paul for his former life? Does God delight in our pain? We shouldn't ask such foolish questions. Suffice it to say, it was what was best for Paul, given to him by the one who knows past, present, and future. Has God given you a thorn in the flesh? Is there trouble in your life? Are you frustrated with something? Do you wonder why God has allowed it? don't despair. God sent his Son to bear your sin and your guilt, to die for your wrongs. He's made you his own dear child by faith in Jesus. As a believer in Jesus, you can be certain that God doesn't hate you, nor is he punishing you for sin, because he already punished Jesus in your place. So if God's not punishing me for the trouble in my life, why are these things happening? That's a good question. And add to that good question these. Perhaps we should ask ourselves, have I been turning away from the Lord and his word lately? Have I found that other things are taking precedence over the Lord and his word that shouldn't be? Have I been forgetting where the real power in my life is? Have I been boasting about my own accomplishments, making plans for my future without consulting his word or his will? Have I been avoiding talking to someone who needs to hear the truth? Have I been about the Father's business? Thank God for thorns, whatever form they take, because they serve to humble us too, and to remind us that we are weak and dependent. We are created beings that desperately need their Creator. Instead of complaining, which is perhaps our first response, remember what the Lord said to Paul when he asked that his thorn be removed. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Lord said, no, I'm not going to take it away from you, because my grace is all that you need to handle it. I won't take it away from you, because only after you have seen your inability are you ready to be an instrument of my power. And the same Lord has promised you that he will enable you to stand if you will only look to him and not to your own strength and power. The Lord told Paul, my grace is all you need. And God's grace is his undeserved love in Christ. God's grace, the depth of that love, is fully realized and appreciated when people see their sinfulness. God's grace is best viewed against the backdrop of our guilt. When we suffer in this life, let us remember, God could have condemned us. He could have given us what we deserved and simply handed us over to an eternity of suffering in hell. He could have resolved to punish us every day of our life for every sin of thought, word, and deed, but he didn't. He could have, but he didn't. Instead, he chose to punish Jesus and have mercy on us. God's grace, that amazing love for us in Christ, will never abandon us. He will not change his mind. He will not tomorrow change his covenant. God's love for us in Christ is mightier than every trouble and can support us in every ordeal. In order that we may see and appreciate his grace, God uses his law from time to time to show us what we really are, who we really are. And when we are at our weakest, he comes to us with the message of the cross. He sends his Spirit to reveal that he has delivered us by his power and through the righteous life of his Son. He promises that all who trust in him are safe, and that no one, whatever the circumstances, can pluck them out of his Father's hand. We who have seen what we truly deserve, but not received, therefore boast, like David, in the Lord and in his might. The Spirit of God may also teach us to be thankful even in trouble, because in trouble, Christ our Savior comes clearly into focus again. Which is why Paul could say, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It is indeed a gift of God to see in mistreatment, necessity, persecution, distress, pain, and suffering, not the absence of God's love, but its presence. When we are at our weakest, when all of the distractions of our lives are stripped away, it's then that we are fit instruments to see and express His power and grace. But is this a gift we really want? You know, the whole pain and suffering thing? No. Humanly speaking, we don't. Do you want thorns and thistles in the garden? No. But they remind us of the curse of sin. Do you want the storm that knocks down trees? Probably not. But the rainbow afterward reminds us of God's promise never again to destroy all life on earth as He once did in the flood. Strife, trouble, persecution can be a gift of God, meant to keep us humble, to show us our weakness and our dependence. It may be a gift meant to turn our eyes back again to Christ and the cross. May God strengthen the gift that He has given, that we may also see strife in this way. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.